Todd, on the other hand, was a revelation. Despite his height, considerable bulk, and the size and weight of his homemade blaster, Todd made the leap look like a step into the void, covering the distance with ease.
Your turn. Me first.
Jack took a short run and launched himself into space, arms and legs bicycling to gain those precious extra inches. He landed on the other side with a puff of dust around his feet.
I'll go next, lover.
Christy psyched herself up by taking deep breaths.
Praise Gaia!
She sailed across the divide. Her limbs felt weightless, buoyed by the air currents around and beneath her. It was a feeling so exhilarating that she was almost sorry when she touched down delicately on the other side. Almost immediately, her strength felt completely sapped, her limbs heavy. She collapsed into a heap as Jack rushed toward her. He was stopped by a knife that thudded into the dry, hard ground at his feet.
Leave her, or the next one is in your guts, Red Eye.
Jack stared across at Tilly with the eye of one who was keeping score, but he held his tongue and stayed where he was. On the far side, Dean chewed his lip. He was younger than the rest, in some ways fitter, but he was still growing, his frame sometimes outreaching the strength of his musculature. It would be a real test of his stamina and ability to get across.
Let me go next.
Dean, wait!
Before Ryan could stop him, the boy ran to the edge of the chasm with measured strides, flexing his knees and getting as much spring as he could into his leap. As he flew through the air, he could feel his lungs almost burst with the effort and the amount of oxygen he had taken into his body. As he began to dip, he knew it wasn't quite enough.
Shit!
On the other side, Jack could see the slight decline in Dean's flight and knew the youngster was hitting trouble. Dean knew that he wouldn't quite make it. He flung out his arms to grasp at the loose dirt on the edge of the chasm as he slammed into the rock-studded wall. His fingers grappled for purchase as the showers of dirt flew into his eyes, mingling with the sweat of exertion and fear that made it hard to see what he was doing. He moved his feet, frantically searching for some kind of foothold from which to propel himself up.
Help!
The rocks under his toes moved as he put the slightest pressure on them, slipping free from the earth and thudding into the darkness, setting off many earth slips. The sounds echoed and receded into the distance below, a darkness Dean dared not look down on as the cold, dry earth scored his cheek. He was losing ground, slipping down farther until...
Dean!
Hey!
Screw you, lady!
It seemed like an eternity to the youth, but it was only a couple of seconds in which Jack would pluck him out of trouble.
Give me a hand, boy.
His eyes stung so much, his vision blurred so much, that Dean registered Jack's hand, sinewy fingers extended, as only a lighter blur on the dark surface of the earth and rock face. Jack groped for Dean's hand as the boy's fingers lost their hold and slipped on the dry, treacherous earth. Jack's fingers closed around Dean's in a strong grip that bit into the boy's flesh. The pain jolted Dean out of the enclosed world of earth, dark and struggle. Instinctively, he knew what was happening and brought his other hand around, scrabbling all the while on the surface of the almost sheer face to grasp Jack's wrist. But he was still a long way from safety. His feet were treading air and earth that slipped away beneath him, letting him fall a fraction of an inch with each pedal of his combat boot. While Ryan, JB, and Mildred watched helplessly from the opposite side, Jack was dragged across the ground by the double pull of gravity and Dean's lack of purchase, dragged farther and farther until the top half of his body began to poke out over the edge of the abyss, the gradual increase in weight balance on the lip accelerating the rate at which he was pulled forward. Jack's right arm took Dean's weight, feeling the pull on every sinew and tendon as the boy's weight strained on the limb. Jack's left arm was held down at his side, clawing at the earth as he tried to dig in and gain some purchase with the toes of his boots. Christy shot a glance at Todd and Tilly. The ragged woman seemed to have expended her anger at Jack's action, and like the giant, was watching the tableau impassively. Another second ticked past, agonizingly slow. Christy decided to take the chance that they'd let her assist. They seemed too keen on their ritual chilling to want to waste all their captives' lives, so it was worth the chance. Christy hurried to Jack, shrugging off her fur coat. It was too bulky for right now and would hinder her chances. She hit the dirt before the coat on her knees and grasped Jack by the waistband of his camo pants. Feeling her strength as she pulled him back from the lip, Jack redoubled his efforts, toes biting into the ground and forming small horizontal steps as he scrabbled back. As Jack's whole torso was once again on flat earth, Christy relinquished her grip and moved around to the edge of the chasm. Looking over the lip, she could see Dean's face, contorted with the effort of pushing against the side of the dirt chasm until his legs felt like molten lead, the muscles burning with a heavy fire. His hands clung to Jack's whipcord arm, the veins and muscles bulging as Dean's fingers bit into the white flesh. The boy had enough sense to reach under the sleeve of Jack's patched coat, which his weight would otherwise have dragged off Jack's body. The sleeve had worked its way up Jack's arm, showing the white flesh going red where Dean's fingers scored into it.
Come on. Come on.
Fight, Dean. You can make it.
Christy stretched herself full length and reached down, taking hold of Dean by his shirt, pulling on it until it came out of his pants and gathered around his neck. It was enough to help him scramble the extra few inches for Christy to grab his belt. With that much firmer hold, she was able to take more of the boy's weight and relieve the strain on Jack.
You're almost there, Dean. You're almost there.
As he got closer to the top, Dean was able to gain more of a foothold and so propel himself onto the plateau at the top, where he collapsed into a heap, panting heavily as he drew precious air into his lungs. The fire in his aching muscles began to abate.
We did it. Praise Gaia.
Yeah. There you go, boy.
Thanks, guys.
That was a damn good show. Reckon you could maybe do it again?
Once Dean was on his feet, Mac gestured to Ryan with his blaster.
Reckon it's your turn now, One-Eye. See if you can give us as much of a show as your brat.
It was the suppressed fury over his son and that comment that gave Ryan the explosive energy to cover the distance with ease. JB was next. As with most things the armorer did, it seemed to be a matter of little effort and an offhand glance. After polishing his glasses, the wiry weapons expert took a short run and threw himself across the divide.
Wahoo!
It wasn't the most graceful landing, and JB worried over the way his ankle twisted as he hit the ground. He felt a slight pull and a pain that was halfway between a stab and an itch. He noticed the slight sensation of weakness as he walked over to the others. He decided to say nothing for the while, hoping that he could walk it off. Mildred was the last to jump. Waiting until last had done her nerves little good. There was a small demon inside her that she'd never confronted. Her fear, not so much of heights, but of drops. As a child, she remembered looking at pictures of the Grand Canyon in books her father possessed, and being struck not by the grandeur, but by the sheer fall to the bottom. And now she had to jump across a sheer drop.
Did you ever hear about a guy called Evil Knievel?
Who?
Forget it. Just an old woman rambling about things you wouldn't know.
She took the jump with a greater ease than she would have thought possible. It was a strong temptation to close her eyes as she soared through the air, but she resisted, knowing that she had to keep them open to judge her landing.
Damn, girl.
It was close to the edge, but not over. The urge to look over her shoulder and into the abyss was almost overwhelming. And she risked a quick glance over her shoulder. The drop into blackness zoomed in and out of focus, and she felt herself sway. A hand steadied her. Looking around, she saw JB in front of her, grasping her arm.
Thanks, John. Nearly lost it there.
About time I helped you out.
Todd gestured to them to band together, waving the giant blaster. It crossed JB's mind that with a blaster like that, they could be spread in a 100-yard radius and still be picked off by one load of shot. But he kept his peace as they moved together under the watchful eyes of Todd and Tilly. Mac and the other two sec men crossed the divide with ease, leaping with a surprising grace to cover the distance.
Muted jackrabbits, not man.
Guess they've just adapted to the conditions.
Shut up and move!
How much farther to your bill?
They'd been walking for some time. They were going through another whirl of the seemingly constant storm, the wind rising to a howl, loud enough to necessitate Ryan shouting. The dirt and dust whipped at them, stinging. JB was aware of the pull in his ankle, getting worse. Mildred had also noticed the way in which he was shifting his weight on his left foot, and gave him a questioning glance, to which he received a short shake of the head in reply.
I said, how far?
I heard you the first time. It's as far as it takes.
You always talk, not them.
Jack indicated the two sec-men who brought up the rear of the party.
They have no tongues?
How'd you guess that, boy? Show the whitey, boys.
They complied, opening their mouths as they walked.
Jesus.
Both men had their tongues torn out by the root, a gaping red gap in the maw of their mouths, obscene and wet. It looked like a primitive and painful extraction, even from a distance.
Don't tell me, let me guess. The sec men from the redoubt again?
Not sec men. White coats who wanted the body parts.
Nice. And you think we're part of that?
You came from there, so it stands to reason.
You stoop or something? Why were they after us?
Like I said, to make us think you weren't with them. Make us easy to fool. It figures out.
Why, you...
Seems to me that you live on the far side of the valley. We've covered a lot of distance.
I'd say that was smart, if I didn't reckon you knew that anyway. After all, seems to me that you should know where we are when you raid us often enough.
Yeah, I'd reckon you live on the rim of the valley. Can't grow jack shit down here. Never get anyone passing by. Maybe you can scratch a living on the edge of the valley. And you'd have to live as far away from the redoubt as possible.
And why's that, One Eye?
Because you're good in these conditions, but you've got no real armory to speak of. Not if that homemade blaster shit is the best you can do. That's okay against foot soldiers, but they've got real weapons at the redoubt. Good ones. Ones that many a traitor would chill for. Maybe ones that we could help you get.
You sure are a strange one, Mr. One Eye. Start by cussing us out, then offering to help. Just, what do you want?
Same thing as you. To survive. Besides, they've got one of our people still in there.
You'd want to go back?
Of course they would. Motherfuckers would just be going home.
Have it your way.
Looking around, Christy could see that escape wasn't a viable possibility. There was nowhere to run to. Perhaps when they reached the vill on the rim of the valley, they might find a way out, a way they could double back and try to get Doc, if Doc was still alive. They sank into silence, trudging across the storm-swept plains, moving slowly from a heavily dust-filled zephyr into a calmer drift, and then into the swirl, and subsequently into the calmer eye of another whirlwind. The valley dwellers hardly seemed to notice the changes in the weather. The force of the storm didn't impede the pace they set, and their vision seemed to be unimpaired by the conditions. It wasn't so easy for the others. At times, the strength of the gale force winds drove them back, seeming to pluck them off the ground and make every step forward seem like two steps back. The sudden flurries of dust, dirt, and stones scoured their exposed faces, made their eyes run with irritated tears until they were dry and sore. It was draining, and Ryan looked around to see how his people were doing. It wasn't encouraging. Jack and Dean were particularly hard hit, both weakened by the effort of saving Dean from plunging into the chasm. They straggled behind, and the dumb sec man prodded them into desultory attempts to keep up. Christy was in front of them, her coat pulled around her to try to ward off the worst of the wind-blasted dirt and dust. The most worrying was JB. The armorer was keeping pace with Mildred, his arm around her shoulders as she helped him support his weakened ankle. But Ryan could see that the pace was beginning to tell on him, and his limp had become more pronounced. The dust was sticking to his sweat-stained forehead, and he grimaced at every other stride.
JB, how's it going?
Been better. Been much better.
We should really stop. Get John's ankle bound before we have to cut that boot off.
I'm not sure they'd let us.
Not the most hospitable of folks.
Can't figure them out. They're slack. Like they don't care if we're watched or not.
Maybe they're not slack. Where can we go to out here? No weapons to fight with. Not as used to the conditions. Maybe they've got more to fear from other sides.
A raiding party from the redoubt?
Could be. Could be something else.
What the hell could there be out here?
You'd be surprised.
Yeah, and?
Weird shit, Missy. Weird shit. Just pray we don't get sniffed out while we're out here.
Mildred raised a questioning eyebrow at J.B., who shrugged. The man with the blaster didn't have to tell if he didn't want to, and there was no way of making him. They continued in silence for a while, J.B. relying on his good ankle as the pain grew harder and blunter in the damaged joint, each impact on the uneven earth making it increase. He tried to disguise it. There were a number of reasons, not least of which being that he didn't want to be left behind as a liability by their captors, forcing Ryan into a decision about action. But he knew that if it came to the crunch, he would be found wanting for speed and maneuverability. When the moment came, it was unexpected. As they began to march through a slough in the valley floor, where a trapped wind gust made the dust storm whip up, scouring and scratching at their bodies, their pace was slow to a crawl. The wind howled and moaned, and the air was full of earth, small pebbles, and even larger chunks of rock that they had to dodge. The surface of the ground became a writhing, shifting mass of loose earth, churned up continuously by the trapped wind.
Couldn't you find an easier route?
This is the easiest!
Although the dust storm could have covered no more than half a mile, visibility in the swirling fog of earth was reduced to a few feet. Christy felt her senses tingle, and was at once acutely aware of danger, but not of the source. She moved closer to Ryan, grasping his arm and pulling him toward her so that she could yell, albeit as quietly as possible, in his ear.
Trouble coming, lover.
What kind?
Can't say. It's just getting stronger, that's all. We need to keep alert.
Ryan looked around him. His people were clustered in a small group headed up by Todd and Tilly, with Mac and the two tongueless Sekhmen bringing up the rear. Their flanks were unprotected. Ryan cupped Christie's cheek in his hand.
We always need to keep alert. Let's warn the others.
He moved off and spoke rapidly to Dean and Jack, while Christy headed for JB and Mildred.